Good morning. Welcome to our service of the Word this morning. It's a lovely summer day. Great to see you all. Obviously, we're still under the restrictions imposed on us at the moment by lockdown. So, what I will remind you of is that when we leave by the door open out the right, not the way that you came in.
Holy Spirit, living breath of God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Just one little thing for testimony stop this morning. We've been in good contact with Ricky in India. We'll be praying for him this morning. He's doing really well. And it was his youngest daughter's first birthday yesterday, so I have put a new picture of her on the board with her mum, which you can have a look at. We've become increasingly aware, haven't we, of the issues around in the world today and how they are far from ideal in many ways. But of course we have to start with ourselves, don't we? And the knowledge that we also need to acknowledge before God our sinfulness and our brokenness. So in a moment of silence, let's reflect on how the ways in which we need to come before God and say sorry. Lord God, our Maker and our Redeemer, this is your world and we are your people. Come among us and save us. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and fail to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. We have not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Minnie is going to come and bring us our Bible reading.
The Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. A man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, lead us today as we look at your word together, for your name's sake. Amen. I came across recently someone asserting that the most useless purchase you could have made in recent months was a 2020 year planner. All of us will have seen a whole bunch of plans that have had to be reassessed or cancelled or postponed because of COVID-19. Some of you may have been incredibly serious and painful. Weddings put on hold, hospital appointments cancelled, dream holidays no longer happening. Well, we're walking through Paul's second missionary journey in the book of Acts, and today he meets unexpected circumstances. Not a pandemic, but the Holy Spirit making him change his plans. Now, there's two very simple headings for this talk, okay? Change of plan and no change of plan. Now, what I mean by that will become apparent. So first of all, change of plan. So remember that Paul, accompanied by Silas and having picked up Timothy along the way, is planning to visit the churches principally that he planted in his first missionary journey. He's wanting to go to them to strengthen them, to check that they're doing okay, to teach and to continue to proclaim the good news. But God has other ideas. So verse 6 tells us that they've been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So, slight change of route. And then we're told when they come to the border of Mysia, you can look at the place up on a map, the actual locations are not desperately significant in terms of the key message of today's talk. So the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, we're not told exactly how that happened. And I guess that probably Paul just felt a very strong sense of God saying to him, not here, don't go here. Okay? And he's obviously obedient to that. He knows that to resist God's will gets you nowhere. Remember, he's had that encounter on the road to Damascus, hasn't he? When Jesus has met him forcefully and he knows that you can't resist Jesus. But obviously he's in a bit of a quandary. So if he's not supposed to do this work here, where is he supposed to do it? That's where he gets this vision of the man of Macedonia. It's there in verse 9. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul concludes that must mean that God had called them to go and preach the gospel in Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is in Europe. And so this is the first time, and we'll see it actually happening in our talk in a couple of weeks' time, when the gospel, the good news of Jesus, lands on European shores. Well, at least from Paul. It may have got there by other Christians by this time around the Roman Empire, but certainly it's the first missionary undertaking at this point in Europe. And for Paul, this would have been unexpected and also brought with it some issues, because as he's going to be travelling through the Greek world, it's a much, much more Gentile environment than the places he visited on his first missionary journey. Well, yes, he did encounter Gentiles, where there would have been a lot more Jewish communities, which is where obviously he started. But here, now as he goes into Europe, as he travels through Greece, he'll find a culture where there are fewer Jewish communities and where the Greek Gentile culture is much more prevalent, a way of thinking very different to his Jewish way of thinking. So it's a countercultural thing for him. It's not something he probably didn't feel himself ready to take this step. It certainly wasn't what he had planned. But he goes in obedience, doesn't he? He knows that God will go with him. He knows that God's Spirit will equip him. And so he obeys. Secondly, no change of plan. What do I mean by that? Well, notice that
Paul concludes that God had called him and his companions to preach the gospel to those in Macedonia. Now, that's not what the man in Macedonia has actually said. He said, come over and help us. You see, the good news of Jesus is the help that Paul can bring. Yeah? He wasn't going to do anything about any political issues they were facing, any social issues. He wasn't going to try and solve whatever problems beset those areas, other than to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And that's why there is no change of plan. Paul is going to do in Macedonia exactly what he was going to do in the places the Holy Spirit prevented him from going to. He was going to preach the gospel. He was going to proclaim the good news of Jesus. You see? So a change of location, but the plan remains the same. We will see in the coming chapters that Paul has to change his approach slightly in certain places. But in order to reach this different culture, he needs to think quite hard, and he needs to be adaptable, and he needs to, to try and work out the best way of proclaiming Jesus. But it's still the same good news. It doesn't change because it's going to a different environment, a different culture, a different place. What is that good news? Well, it's always good to be reminded of it, isn't it? It's the good news that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and rose again for us, bringing us new life, so that we will be together with God for eternity. It's the good news that because of that, God's Holy Spirit can live within us and we can start a whole new life with him, knowing that we're forgiven and reconciled and at peace with God. That's the good news. And if you haven't yet accepted that good news and welcomed it into your life, then please do think about doing that this morning and speaking to me afterwards so we can pray with you, because it's just the same now for us as it was for those people back in Paul's day in Macedonia. It could be us who'd be calling for help, because we're stuck in our sin. We need a rescuer. We need Jesus. So for us at this time, there may well be changes of plan. Obviously there's been changes of plan for us as church. If I wasn't expecting to become an internet superstar-ish. I wasn't expecting that I would be doing services online. But actually what's been fascinating is how clearly we're reaching people who don't normally come to church, some of them we don't even know where they are, but God's message is going out there. I obviously wouldn't have expected that we'd be sitting here this morning wearing masks, not able to sing, and some churches of course haven't yet even been able to open physically at all. And obviously that's been challenging, and we've had to use some imagination and think hard about how we can respond to this special situation. There's been ways in which as church we've been able to help those in need, delivering shopping and just generally being there for people who are shielding or people who can't get out on their own. I know that many of you have been brilliant at phoning each other and checking up on each other and praying for each other, which is brilliant. That's what we as church should be doing. We've had to adapt, haven't we, to this new situation. And I guess there may well be continuing adaptation to do. We don't know yet, do we, what shape our life together is going to be like over the next few months. The situation seems to change, doesn't it, on almost a daily basis. And so we've got to continue to be flexible and adaptable and to persevere. But it is the same gospel, the same good news, just as it was for Paul going into a new place. God is still very much in control. The COVID-19 pandemic is not in any way evidence that he's not. Sickness is one of those things that comes into the world because of the fall. It's something we have to live with in our fallen world. And obviously we pray that God will bring an end to this pandemic, that he alone knows, doesn't he, the beginning from the end. We don't know his purposes. We have to trust him. And what is great is that even in this time, people are coming to faith in Jesus. People are growing in their faith. People are discovering new ways of being church. And that good news of Jesus won't change. You see, it can't be cancelled or postponed by a pandemic, by lockdown, or by anything. Jesus is still at the right hand of God, interceding for us. His Spirit still lives in us. And the mission he's given us remains the same. It's important not to look back on Paul's missionary journey and say, well, this is just an interesting bit of history. Because the Bible isn't a history book. Well, it is. It records history, but it doesn't record vast swathes of history. We're not told, for example, who the book of Acts, what political events were going on, who the rulers were. We get a few insights into it. But what is preserved in the book of Acts is preserved for us to instruct us and help us. This is history that we can learn from. So we shouldn't look back and say, oh, well, that was fine for Paul. He was a missionary. But actually we don't need to do that now, do we? Obviously everybody knows the story of Jesus. Well, not necessarily. We live in a culture where secularisation has really sapped away people's knowledge of the Christian story. And of course, what abounds when you do that is not so much just lack of knowledge, but also misunderstandings of what the gospel actually means. So there's still, this mission of Paul is our mission today. People are just as much in need of help as that man from Macedonia, because people are stuck in their sin. People need to know the new life that Jesus brings. So that mission for us is that we are God's feet and hands, wherever he takes us and whatever the future holds for us. God has a job for us to do. And it's the same job that he gave to Paul and Silas and Timothy. Get out there and preach the good news of Jesus everywhere you go, by whatever means possible, in person and virtually, because the good news of Jesus can be put across in a whole variety of ways. And so as we work our way through Paul's second missionary journey, we may find it frustrating and thinking, well, we can't get out there and do the same thing. We can't travel from place to place and do these things at the moment. But God's word is not changed. And with imagination, I'm sure that we can reach people in just the same way that Paul did. Amen. There's a song which hopefully will help us to respond to what God is saying to us this morning. Let's listen to it now.
Today. Lord God, your Son left the riches of heaven and became poor for our sake. When we prosper, save us from pride. When we are needy, save us from despair. We may trust in you alone. Amen. Susan's going to lead us now in further intercessions.
Let us pray. Approaching God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We join in celebration this Sunday morning with our worldwide family of God, one in heart to glorify your name. Together we bring our worship. Together we bring our praise. As children of God from all nations, we share each other's joy in your abundant blessings of grace. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and together praise our Heavenly Father. We pray for the Christian family throughout the world, as they build hope and confidence in others through their witness and their work. We pray especially for our brother Ricky, as he seeks to bring the gospel to the people of Manipur. We pray for safety for him and his family as they witness to your love and unfailing grace. And especially at this time, when the coronavirus continues to spread throughout India, we pray that he will be able to bring your love, your hope, into so much suffering. We give thanks for the signs of transformation in families and communities worldwide as we reach and continue to love and give service to bring the good news of your salvation to a needy world. And we pray for the flourishing of all Christian communities as we adapt for the needs of this present time and entrust ourselves to God to lead us forward. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbour and to care for those in need as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, to tend the sick, and to assure the isolated of your love and your love for your name's sake. Amen. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill and afraid or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them, and restore them to health and strength. And we remember especially Janet as she undergoes further tests on Monday, and Ellen as she awaits further surgery. And let us take time to bring before the Lord others known to us. Lord, you know each and every one of those we have named before you. You know their needs and their fears. Let them know your presence with them and bring them through this time of trial. And we ask with confidence in your precious name. Amen. Almighty God, who has called us to serve by grace through Jesus Christ, we pray you give us a good sense of listening patiently to people who have not yet heard your call. Let us give them our time, and give us the right word to answer them at the right time. Use us to grow your kingdom. May you give us sight and insight to observe carefully in order to act responsibly to meet the needs of all in our immediate community. Make us your instruments of change in this world of confusion, to bring hope, confidence, and recreation. We thank you for the blessing of being united in Christ. Bind us together in hope and confidence and love as we uphold one another in prayer. Draw us close together, encourage us and lead us, shelter us and strengthen us, that our unity may radiate your glory. Lord, you said to your disciples, and now to us, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Lord, light of life, unite us together across the world as we seek to build hope and confidence to those you call us to serve. Lord, light of the world, by the power of your word and through your actions of love, call us to be your disciples. Enable us to shine in the darkness, to stand up for justice and peace, and reflect your love for all. God of grace, enable us to build hope and confidence in these troubled times, that your glory may be revealed and the whole earth come to praise your name. May we always reach out in hope and confidence as your hands across the world to share the love of Christ, united as the family of God. Amen.
Thanks, Susan. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We draw to the end of the service. Reminder that we'll be exiting by that door over there on the right. There will be a service at 6:30 this evening at St John's Welling. So do please come and join with us then if you're able to. We'll be carrying on our journey through the Book of Esther. And otherwise we'll be back here next Sunday. So let's stand and declare our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Draw your church together, O God, into one great company of disciples, together following our Lord Jesus Christ into every walk of life, together serving him in his mission to the world, and together witnessing to his love on every continent and island. Amen.